Welcome to Unity of Tucson.
When I was a teenager, we had a recording of Hair, and it was the first musical cast recording that I ever learned all of the lyrics to back and forth. So this has a very deep, deep place for me. It is the dawning of a new era. We're always at the dawning of a new era. You know, this is a song that was written in 1967, and Hair went to off-Broadway in 1968 and then transferred to Broadway later that year. And it was speaking of all of the things that we talk about here. Harmony, understanding, love, ultimately knowing the truth of your being. Now, what many of you may not know, I don't usually bring photographic evidence of my time in musical theater, but about 22 years ago, I did Hair. This is a backstage shot. This is on the PowerPoint. Here it comes. No, nope. There it is. That is my real hair. I'm not wearing a wig. I also don't typically show pictures of me with no shirt on. That was 22 years ago. I played the character of Berger in a Los Angeles production of Hair. That's my friend Kristen. Sorry, I'm getting very nostalgic now. Okay, we can take that down. I think about the character of Berger. He's the leader of the tribe. If you don't know the musical, you're going to hear a little bit about it. And Berger is like the leader of what's called the tribe. And when you engage in a production of Hair, one of the things that happens is we don't call ourselves a cast. We call ourselves a tribe. And Berger's journey through the story works on very, very many different themes, what he is navigating and traveling through. A couple of these themes are freedom versus responsibility, this notion that they are somehow in conflict. He's seeking freedom, but also, you know, feeling tied to the responsibilities of life in some ways and feeling like he's being pulled down by what other people's expectations of those responsibilities are going to be. Another theme of that character's journey is friendship versus loyalty and escapism and tragic denial. One of the things that's part of his journey is his unwillingness to face the challenges that are put before him, and he often disengages from those challenges, and he becomes very flippant about them. One of the ways that we express that sometimes in the New Thought philosophy is a thing that we call spiritual bypass. He's going into bypass, not willing to face the circumstantial world. One of the things that I always like to say is that in the New Thought philosophy, we are not here to ignore the circumstantial world. What we are here is to adopt spiritual philosophy that allows us to navigate the circumstantial world irrespective of what that circumstance looks like. And on the surface, the entire show and his entire journey seems to be about rebellion, but what it's really about is belonging. That's why I said it's about a tribe. And the members of the tribe are encouraged to be unapologetically themselves. That's part of their expression. And there's great insight as you go through everyone introducing themselves, the characters introducing themselves, and they do so in an unapologetic way. And today, in this month of diversity, is really all about that, about celebrating that which makes us unique and finding spiritual belonging within that celebration. Allowing ourselves to find that sense of belonging that honors and celebrates our differences. Because if we were not inherently different, well, we would all be automatons, and that would be a pretty boring life. And it would be a life devoid of choice. It would be a life devoid of opportunity for freedom. Diversity, I think sometimes we look at this notion of diversity as a challenge to be overcome, that we have to find some path to honoring diversity. But it's not a human challenge to be overcome. What I think it is it is a divine design that can be embraced, that we can all, each and every one of us, embrace the divine design that has showed up in its diverse expression. That's the nature of God. Diversity is not accidental. It is intentional. It is not accidental. If you look at the diversity of nature, it is not accidental. It is intentional. Audre Lorde had this to say. She said, "It is not our differences that divide us. It is our inability to recognize, accept, and celebrate those differences." Intentional differentiation is how the one God, source, energy, whatever we choose to call it, the universal presence, that is how the one expresses itself infinitely in form. We are each and every one of us part of that intelligence. We are each and every one of us part of that design. We are each and every one of us worthy of our unique individualized expression. And so the issues that we face are not really about differences. The core of division is actually a feeling of disconnection, that we lean into looking at the differences in adverse ways when we feel disconnected. And the source of all discord is a sense of separation, separation from the infinite source and substance that is the identity of each and every one of us. I believe we are all encouraged to live up to a spiritual call. The spiritual call is not a call of tolerance. It is a call to celebrate the myriad ways that the divine is shining its light through all creation. You know, I've used this analogy before. It's one of my favorite analogies, and I will now refer to the stained glass. Right? You've heard me use this analogy before to acknowledge and celebrate the diversity. The stained glass window is... Imagine each of us is a uniquely shaped and colored part of that stained glass window. That's what we are. We are a stained glass window, right? And we all contribute to the makeup of the whole. And the light of God is shining through each and every one of us equally. And each piece offers its own hue and its own vibration in the makeup of the whole. And here's the thing, if any piece is missing, then the wholeness is incomplete. It is no longer whole. And so this leads me to a reminder that we are necessary to the expression of wholeness. You, your unique expression is necessary to contribute and allow the wholeness to be in its fullness. In diversity, we don't lose unity. In fact, I think in diversity, that is the ultimate expression of unity. In diversity, we don't lose unity. We actually illuminate it. Because here's the thing about unity. Unity is not uniformity. I say every single week, I'm not here to tell you what to believe, and I'm not here to tell you what to think. That is such an important aspect of the way that I approach my ministry in this spiritual philosophy, because I don't want us to just take for granted the things that we hear. I want us to question. I want us to be skeptics, because I have found that through skepticism, I have enhanced the quality of my life. And I think that we can all do that. And so I'm not here to encourage uniformity. Far from it. Unity is not sameness. Unity is harmony expressed through the multiplicity, through the infinite multiplicity of God's full expression as all that is. What a delight that is. Every single week, I look out and I see the multifaceted faces of God and the light shining in each and every one of them. That's you. That's you. There was a challenge within the New Thought movement, and Now I'm going to get a little critical. I think it's important that we acknowledge and understand that the founders of the various paths in New Thought were products of their time, and that there are very challenging, there are very challenging frames of mind that guided this spiritual philosophy for a significant amount of time. A lot of it was rooted in racism. A lot of it is rooted in homophobia. And there are still aspects of that that exist within the movement. You might be surprised to know that. I don't think that we demonstrate that here. I really don't. I think that we are a community that really understands. But one of the things that happened is in the 1950s, the founder of the religious science movement, Ernest Holmes, came to a gathering of the religious science, a religious science community. That's religious science is the sibling organization that is part of the New Thought movement. Unity is one, religious science is another. And he got pushback when he arrived with people coming in and saying, there are too many people that are not like us here. And I'm not going to sell you, I'm not going to go into specifics about what the actual language was, because it's rather upsetting. But he pushed back on that. And one of the things that he said is this. This is a long quote. He said this: we are all children of the living God, one God that permeates all without exception, one intelligence that governs all, and every man and woman who abides in the universe is a significant entity in the one universal consciousness. Our doors will forever be open to all. Whoever you are, be proud. You are a divine idea in the mind of God. I want to put that on our wall in our lobby. Because I fully believe that our doors will be forever open to all, whoever you are. Be proud. You are a divine idea in the mind of God. We are all children of the one living God. We are all children of the one living God. In the spiritual family, which we are all a part of, there is infinite and universal belonging. And in this expression of Ernest Holmes, he's saying that this must be without exception. Without exception, this is key. We are engaged in a practice of radical inclusivity by understanding the truth of our being. When we say, remember who you are every single week, it is not only about remembering who you are, but understanding that that is the truth of every single person you encounter. I always say that to acknowledge that I am that which is, I am a facet of the infinite divine presence that is God. As I say, I am God, I must understand it and know it equally in every single person I encounter. I think that that is a statement of absolute equality and equity, to know who I am and to acknowledge and know it about every single person I encounter. And again, I say this a lot, irrespective of their behaviors, because their behaviors may not be in alignment with their own sense of truth. They may not understand is that as the divine, that they are empowered to absolutely live a life of love. But sometimes we feel challenged by that because we feel separate from it, and that is what ends up leading to discord. We are all children of the living God, and so let us practice radical inclusivity in every aspect of our being. We are each and every one of us a significant entity in the one universal consciousness Ernest Holmes offered. No part of creation, there is not a single part of creation that should be relegated to being in the background. Every single one of us matters and is integral to the wholeness, just like the stained glass. If there was any piece of that stained glass that was missing, it would not be expressing as wholeness. We all matter. Without you, the whole is not whole. Think about that. Without you, the whole is not whole. You are not a side note in this thing called life. You are essential in this thing called life. And so is every single person around you. Every single one of us is essential in this thing called life. And so, whoever you are, be proud. You are a divine idea in the mind of God. It is not lost on me that this is June 1st. It is the beginning of Pride Month, which, you know, ostensibly, really specifically, is a celebration of the LGBTQIA community. But I think that we can all acknowledge and celebrate the pride of knowing the truth of our being, and that we can celebrate that, each and every one of us. I've said in the past, coming out of the closet as a member of the LGBTQIA community was easy compared to coming out of the closet as a spiritual person. In some ways, specifically because I am a member of that community, and there has traditionally been conflict in the idea of a religiosity in relationship to that community. But I'll tell you what, my life has gotten infinitely better through an adoption of deep understanding of myself as a unique individual expression of the divine that happens to be part of a couple different communities. Whoever you are, be proud. Let your pride be reflected in every aspect of your beingness, for you are a divine idea in the mind of God. You know, pride is not just about ego. It's about an alignment, an invitation to alignment with infinite truth. That's what we should be celebrating as pride. It is a call. Pride is a call to express our spiritual authenticity, and it echoes Audre Lorde's call in that quote, a call to recognize and celebrate the differences that we all have. Take a look around for just a moment. Look at the faces around you. We sometimes say that we will see reflected in others that which is inherently aspects of ourselves. And I do believe that's true. But I think it's also important that we acknowledge and allow ourselves to understand that when we look around and see the faces of every single person around us, that we are seeing uniqueness. We are seeing infinite divine uniqueness, and that is a blessing. I can only celebrate my divine expression if I am willing to celebrate your divine expression. Our doors will forever be open to all. I also find challenge sometimes that we do open our doors to all. And I, you know, there's a part of me that wishes that more people would walk through those doors. For no other reason than I feel like we have something to offer in terms of considerations of how to enhance the quality of life. Our doors being open to all is a call to celebrating in integrity who we say we are. The dawning of this age is not external or performative. It is a call to aligning with an internal beingness, to truly settle into the notion and the understanding that we are that which is. I am that which is. You are that which is. There can be no separation. There is only God expressing in its multifaceted magnificence by means of each and every one of us. In the 1960s, that song invited us into the age of Aquarius, saying, this is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. The age of Aquarius is not a calendar date, just by the way. Although I think some astrologers would say, well, there is actually a timeline and a calendar date that could be associated with the dawning of the age of Aquarius, irrespective. For me, it is not a calendar date. It is an adoption of a shift of consciousness. It is a consciousness shift. It is an opportunity for us to step into prioritizing, to step away from prioritizing fear as a motivating factor in our lives and moving to prioritizing love as the motivating factor of our lives. It is a call to each and every one of us, a consciousness shift from division to celebration. It is a consciousness shift from the judgment of differences to celebrating the unity in diversity. The tribe of new thought is not built on sameness. There is a joke. It's considered a joke in this movement. And I'm going to look at Reverend William for just a moment because he'll understand what I'm saying. The joke is, people go around and say, well, if you've been to One Unity Church, you've been to One Unity Church. And they say it as though it is a detrimental aspect of how we show up in the world. I think we need to stop thinking of it as a detriment, and I think we need to start celebrating it as an asset. Because you may not hear, okay. Because I know, here's the thing, I know I'm not the minister for all people. I'm out there. You ever notice that? I know, it's shocking, isn't it? I am a musical theater guy who brings it to the stage and allows myself to let that inform the manner in which I do ministry. That's not for everyone. Here's my encouragement. If that is not the style of ministry that you're attracted to, please go find where you're spiritually nourished. I won't be offended. I would be more offended if you stayed because you thought, oh, I have to go to church on Sunday. Otherwise, detrimental things are going to happen. And so I got to go put up with that guy. I don't want to be tolerated. I want to be celebrated, and I want to celebrate you. And I endeavor to do that in my own unique expression of this thing called ministry of the divine every single week. The tribe of new thought is not built on sameness. It is a tribe of infinite expressions of the one, and there is room for all expressions of the one. There is a shape, thank you. There is a shape and a color in the cosmic window that is your unique expression. And when we shine our light fully, the collective light becomes more beautiful. I'm actually a little disappointed that it's overcast today because usually this window behind me is a lot brighter. Doesn't mean that the light is not there. What a blessing it is that the light still shines through. And some people ask, is that actually illuminated by artificial light? It's not. That is actually the light from the outside of the building. We are here to shine our light fully and contribute to the collective light. So seek the beauty even in the expressions you may not understand. That is part of our work in the New Thought philosophy, to allow ourselves to see that beauty. You are a divine idea in the infinite mind of God. You are a divine identity in the infinite mind of God, and so is every soul you meet. So let us open our heart to use the full spectrum of that God source energy to be expressed as humanity. Let us celebrate the dawning, rooted in love and united in and as light. Peace and blessings. You are magnificent. I can put the glasses back on now. There is something that I offer every single week. If you're new to our community, one of the things that I endeavor to do is to invite a practicality to the spiritual message. And so I offer a home practice that you are at choice to engage in or not. But what I feel is that by engaging in the home practice, you actually are stepping into that enhancement of the quality of life. And so this week's home practice, in alignment with the message today, is this. Before going to sleep each night this week, take some time to reflect. This is the question upon which I will encourage you to reflect. What are three ways I have experienced the face of God today in my interactions? What are three ways I have experienced the face of God today in my interactions? And I will give credit where credit is due, because this particular home practice was brought and illuminated in my life by my friend, Reverend Charlie Tupper, who is I'm going to say hello to you, Charlie. I know you probably don't want to be pointed out, but Charlie Tupper, who is the minister of the Unity Southwest region, is visiting us this week, and I'm so delighted to have her here with us today. She said that this was part of her practice, and I said, can I use that tomorrow, when I talked to her about it yesterday? So yes, before going to sleep each night this week, take some time to reflect. What are three ways I've experienced the face of God today in my interactions? That's the home practice.
Hi, this is Reverend Jonathan Zenz, and I want to thank you for listening to the podcast of my Sunday message. Your financial support will ensure that we can continue to offer this as an option for inspiration. You can make your tax-deductible contribution in any amount on our website, unitytucson.com. Once again, thank you for listening. You are magnificent. Namaste.